Good afternoon, everybody. Shmuel Klosser coming at you live. It's book club class. It's Monday afternoon, and it's November 21 of the year 22. I know that because yesterday was the 20th, a big day at Gulf Manor because we had a big blood drive. That's how I know these things. So November 20, blood drive. So the day after that, it's got to be the 21st. Good. We're in the book, The Majesty of Rosh Hashanah, Understanding Malchiyot, Zichronos, and Shofros. We're in the last segment of the book, left a third of it. Going to be discussing shofros, those verses which discuss the shofar, the blowing of the shofar, and everything having to do with the shofar. And really, we're kind of at the end of the book. It's really exciting. Under 100 pages to go. So let's do it bit by bit. I'm in the section called Introduction to Shofros, which is page 215, 215. Let's get right to it. Introduction to shofros. Why shofros? The verses of shofaros have four themes. Number one, the call of the shofar at the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. Number two, the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. Number three, the blowing of the shofar and the trumpets in the temple, in the Beis HaMikdash. And four, the shofar sound, which will herald the coming of Mashiach. What is the connection between the shofar of Rosh Hashanah and the other verses where shofar is mentioned? Also, our rabbis do not seem to give us any explanation for its purpose. When it comes to Malchios, you know, those are the verses which talk about God as the king. So when it comes to those biblical verses of what we call Malchios, where God is the Melech, the Talmud in Rosh Hashanah 16a tells us that Hashem instructs us, Hashem tells us to recite it, Kidei Shetamlichuni Alecha, in order that you accept me as king over you. The purpose of Zichronos, those verses which have to do with God remembering Israel, the purpose of Zichronos, says the Talmud, is Kidei Shiala Zichronechem Lefanai Letova, in order that your remembrance should ascend favorably before me. The Talmud continues, Uvameh, and through what? A shofar. Through the shofar. This means that through the shofar itself, we achieve the aims of Malchios and Zichronos, those verses having to do with God's kingship, and God remembering us. Why then recite the blessing of shofaros with its 10 verses? Rabbi Cohen is asking, if the medium is the shofar for the message, there's a book back in the day, in my college days, by Marshall McLuhan, The Media is the Message. I never actually read the book. I think I was supposed to. I never actually wound up doing it. Still did pretty well in the class. The medium or the media is the message. By Marshall McLuhan. So if the shofar is the medium through which God sends a message, the message being, I'm the king. So we're going to remember that with 10 verses having to do with me being the king. I want to remember you. So here are 10 verses wherein I remember you. All right, you jog my memory, like as if God's memory has got to be jogged. But you know, Hashem says, "Zacharti l'chesed nurayach." I remember the chesed of your youth. We talked about that, and Hashem always has that in front of him. So those verses are dedicated to the proposition that God always remembers us. And Rabbi Cohen writes, "We got to do our share in order to be remembered for the good. We have to do tshuva." Okay, that's fine. That's okay. I'm all in favor of that. But you've got 10 verses talking about God as the king, and God is the great rememberer. And if the whole medium for that is a shofar, so that's fine too, but just why does shofar get 10 verses? What are you going to relate to me with the 10 verses? About what? That shofar is, you blow the shofar to remember the kingdom. You blow the shofar because God remembers. So you can do that 10, you have 10 verses. Well, why bother? What's that all about? You have 10 verses telling you that? That God remembers, he's the king. There's got to be more here. So let's see. Page 216. Shofros, affirming our faith in the revelation at Sinai. Who even thought about this in Rosh Hashanah? But now you'll know for the next Rosh Hashanah. In order to gain an understanding of Shofros, we will go back to the principles of the book, the Sefer HaIkarim of Rabbi Albo, the book of principles, really, literally, the book of principles, which were quoted above in the introduction to Malchios, Zechronos, and Shofros. This book, the Sefer HaIkarim, states in its opening chapter, opening article, subchapter 4, the Sefer HaIkarim states that the 13 principles of faith, as enumerated by Maimonides, are encapsulated by three major principles. Number one, these are, number one, the existence of God, creator and sustainer of all that exists. Number two, that God is aware of everything that happens and that he rewards those who do good and he punishes evildoers. And three, that the Torah was given by God to Israel at Sinai. Rabbi Albo writes that these three principles, God exists, he's the creator, God knows everything, and he rewards good and bad, and that God gave the Torah to us, these three principles are the subject matter of the three blessings of Malchios, Zechronos, and Shofros. Number one, in Malchios, when we accept God as our king, we acknowledge the all-encompassing truth of the existence of God, on whom all else depends. Number two, top page 217. Number two, in Zechronos, when focusing on God's awareness of all that occurs, we call those verses the remembrance verses. When focusing on God's awareness of all that occurs, we acknowledge Hashgacha Pratis, personal divine providence. That is to say, God created you and me. He gets actively involved in our lives, rewards us as we go, punishes us as we go, challenges us as we go, uplifts us up if we're down, lowers us if we get too arrogant, runs the whole wide world anyway. But that's, you know, that's, olam, that's hashgacha olamit, if you will, worldly divine providence. Every Jew has to believe, and really ought to easily see in his own life, that God is leading him in a certain path. You pick the path you want to go along, and God will lead you that way. You want to lead a path of atheism? Maybe God will intervene. He'll throw you a miracle, and you'll change your mind. Stranger things have happened. If you want to lead a godly life, God will encourage that, because he wants that. And so again, in Zechronos, when focusing on God's awareness of all that occurs, we acknowledge divine, personal providence, hashgacha pratis, and the principle of reward and punishment. And finally, number three, in Shofros, we state our faith that the Torah was given to Israel by God at Sinai. In these three brachos, Rabbi Albo writes, our sages are making us aware that in the merit of our complete emunah and our complete faith in the three principles, with all that they include, we will merit a favorable judgment by God. Through strengthening and reaffirming our emunah on Rosh Hashanah, the anniversary of the creation of man, we are fulfilling the very purpose of our existence. That's what Rosh Shlomo Brevda fleshes that out. Shofros then is the bracha, that's the blessing that we make in the Musaf, that's the bracha in which we reaffirm our faith in Torah from heaven. Verses which deal directly with the giving of the Torah are obviously suited for this role. However, the relevance of the other verses still requires explanation. Furthermore, why is it that the shofar, which represents the giving of the Torah, read it like this. He writes it correctly. I misread it. Furthermore, why is it the shofar which represents the giving of the Torah more than any other aspect of the revelation at Sinai? Why is it the shofar which represents the giving of the Torah? In what way does that shofar represent the giving of the Torah? Divine revelation and shofar. The Sefer Yekarim explains, Rabbi Albo writes, that there was a unique quality to the sound of the shofar, which preceded and accompanied Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, or the receipt of the Torah. The kol shofar, which did not emanate from a physical shofar, was a totally miraculous experience. The people heard doo or something along those lines. I'll never be able to equate it because I just said something out of my mouth. You know, it vaguely sounded like a shofar blow. But even a real shofar would not have been able to probably equate to what they heard, because they were hearing like these godly trumpets, godly shofars, and not real shofars at the Matan Torah. So they were hearing some sort of divine heavenly shofars. The kol shofar, the voice of the shofar, which did not emanate from a physical shofar, was a totally miraculous experience. However, our rabbis teach us, Rashi brings down in Shemos, in his commentary in the book of Exodus, that the shofar which was sounded at Sinai was from the ram sacrificed by Abraham at the Akedah in the place of Yitzchak. So how would Rabbi Albo understand that? So he writes, Rabbi Albo would understand this to mean that it was a spiritual manifestation of this shofar. To be further clarified. So again, this kol shofar was a truly, totally miraculous experience, according to Rabbi Albo. It was even more miraculous than the other phenomena which Israel witnessed there, such as the fire, which reached the heart of the heavens, the lightning, and the cloud of the divine presence. He writes that lightning and fire are present in our world. However, their awesome presence at Sinai was a more dramatic form of the same phenomena. Thus, the shofar sound, which had no physical source and was therefore a unique phenomenon, demonstrates the miraculous quality of the revelation more than its other aspects. Okay. The fact that there was a shofar sound without a physical source, no physical shofar, established conclusively that it was God himself who was speaking to us at Sinai. The Sefer HaKarim continues that the same supernatural quality will apply to the shofar sound, which will herald the arrival of Mashiach. This shofar will be the revelation of the truth of the Torah to the entire world and will be miraculous beyond any doubt. Thus, it is the sound of the shofar which at Matan Torah and at the future redemption is the true hallmark of Torah from heaven, Torah Min HaShemayim. We still need to understand why, of all the innumerable ways that God could have chosen to demonstrate the revelation of Torah from heaven, shofar was chosen. And how does our tekiah shofar, how does our blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah connect with this? The struggle between good and evil. Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto writes in Maimer HaChokhmah that the meaning of the mitzvah of shofar should be understood in the context of the struggle between the forces of good and evil in this world. This struggle began with the sin of Adam and will culminate with the future redemption when good will triumph. He explains that the sin of Adam caused good to become intermingled with and subdued by evil from us. At the giving of the Torah, good was released from its subjugation to evil and became clearly defined and strengthened, but not sufficiently for evil to be vanquished. After the coming of Mashiach, the eradication of evil will be complete, and good alone will dominate. He explains that both these stages in the triumph of good over evil, Matan Torah and the future Geula, the giving of the Torah and the future redemption, he explains that both these stages in the triumph of good over evil, both at the giving and the receipt of the Torah at Sinai and the future redemption, were to be achieved through the shofar. This is why the shofar that will herald the arrival of Mashiach is called the shofar Gadol, the great shofar. By the way, that's going to be about the eighth verse of shofars. It's going to come from Isaiah 27. The shofar Gadol, the great shofar, because its sounding will bring about the complete eradication of evil. It will complete the process that was begun when the shofar was sounded at Sinai. Excuse me. So to those who want to argue that we're living in some sort of messianic period right now, I don't see it. I mean, you know, Mashiach's around the corner, but then again, he was always around the corner. But if there's some other religion that wants to insist that we've been living post-messianic arrival, I'm going, it's nonstop war. It's just nonstop craziness. How in the world do you think that this world is in a post-messianic or messianic time when all you got is craziness? Not only just in this country, in that country, every country, and there's war, civil war, and a war between Ukraine and Russia. I don't have to go into it. 2,000 years of nonstop war. Hardly, you know, the days of the Messiah. Page 219. Our Tekiah Shofar, our blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, continues Rabbi Michal, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, is an integral part of the process of the strengthening of good and hastening its triumph over evil. The tefillah of shofaros is to arouse the ability of shofar to do this sufficiently. Again, the tefillah of shofaros is to arouse the ability of the shofar to do this adequately, sufficiently. He's got a footnote. Shofar Rosh Hashanah is there to awaken and rouse us to tshuva. It also makes us aware of our great responsibility to bring closer the ultimate revelation of good, which will follow the coming of Mashiach. This can only be achieved through internalizing the shofar's message and allowing good to triumph over evil in our lives. Biurei HaChachma explains that the Ramachal is telling us that shofaros is different in regard, it's different vis-a-vis Malchios and Zachronos, in that the purpose of shofaros is the same as that of shofar. It has no separate role. Shofaros brings out, it arouses the spiritual power of shofar. It enables shofar to bridge the gap between the revelation at Sinai and the completion of what that revelation achieved at the future Geula. Shofaros conveys to us, Israel, what our historic responsibility is. It interprets for us what is conveyed to us by that poignant yet wordless call of the shofar. This explains the Biurei HaChachma, is why our rabbis say, Uvameh, Bashofar. And with what? With the shofar, seemingly omitting to give us a reason for shofaros. Shofaros is the inner spiritual content of the shofar itself, not a separate entity. This is also the meaning of the Ritva we recorded above, which we didn't actually do. Let's do it. We continue. Why must the revelation of good be achieved through shofar? And why is the transmission of Torah from heaven recognizable only through an unmistakably miraculous kol shofar, voice of the shofar? So why shofar? And why is the transmission of the Torah stemming from heaven, why is it only recognizable through a miraculous kol shofar, the voice of the shofar? Bottom page 219. Shofar recalls the binding of Isaac. The shofar is a reminder of Akedas Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac. When Abraham achieved the highest and most absolute level of the triumph of good over evil that can be achieved by a human being. There's a Rabbeinu Yonah, he writes over here, offers an exceptionally moving description of the spiritual heights achieved by Abraham and Yitzchak at the Akedah. He describes, based on our rabbi's teachings, the purity of thought of Avraham Avinu as he went about sacrificing the ram, and how earnestly he beseeched God at each stage to accept the carbon of the ram as if he had been doing the same to his dear son Isaac. Thus the shofar, which derived from the ram, and by which the ram was held as Avraham searched for an alternative carbon, represents the absolute sincerity of Avraham, who even after being prevented by God from carrying out his original commands, still wanted to come as close as he could to doing so. Okay, getting back to Avraham, the shofar is a reminder of Akedas Yitzchak. When Avraham achieved the highest and most absolute level of the triumph of good over evil that can be achieved by a human being. At this, his 10th and final test, Avraham succeeded in making his will at one with the will of God, entirely overcoming all his own questions, desires, and vested interests. The Midrash tells us, I'm on page 220, the Midrash tells us that the shofar blown at Sinai was the left horn of the ram, which Avraham offered up in the place of Isaac. And the shofar, which will announce the arrival of Mashiach, will be its right horn. Meaning the right horn will be a complete, permanent revelation of the truth. More about that in a couple pages. This means that the spiritual source for these shofars is in Akedas Yitzchak, because the left horn of that ram of Akedas Yitzchak was blown at Sinai, and the right horn of that ram of Akedas Yitzchak will be blown when Mashiach comes. So the spiritual source for these shofars, the one at Sinai and the one at the ultimate geula, redemption, that is to be found in the binding of Isaac. The spiritual level achieved then by Abraham shows us what spiritual heights the Torah can bring us to, and the perfection that the future redemption will allow us to attain. It's a two-pronged thing. We can reach spiritual heights through Torah study and observance, and there'll be perfection when Mashiach comes. Middle page 220, the shofar of freedom. The shofar on Rosh Hashanah calls to us individually and communally. It awakens us to our responsibility to lift ourselves above the pitfalls which we have stumbled on and the distractions that have caused us to stray, to realize that our role in life is something so much greater and more meaningful. Shofar frees us from the shackles of the Yetzirah, which enslaves us to the physical and negative character traits and desires, and makes us aware of our ability and duty to cleave to the Torah. This realization brings the final triumph of good over evil closer. For this reason, the Sifrei calls the shofar, Shofar Shel Cheres, the shofar of freedom. Top of page 221. With this explanation, we can understand why Rashi, in his commentary on the Torah, on Leviticus 23, tells us that both Zichronos and Shofros are to remind us of Akedas Yitzchak, in whose place a ram was offered. Shofros recalls the shofar of Sinai and reminds us of the spiritual source of shofar, the example of Avraham, who succeeded in completely overcoming his Yetzer Hara. his own evil inclination. Middle page 221, divine revelation through the generations. The bracha of shofaros and its verses brings out the message of the shofar. The shofar's call is the sound of divine revelation, reverberating throughout the generations. Shofar recalls the spiritual triumph achieved by Avraham Avinu at the binding, at the Akedah. It is the sound of the shofar of Sinai and of the Avodah, the worship, the service of the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, where Israel was inspired to attain spiritual purity and devotion to God. It reminds us of the shofar which will bring the final revelation of truth to the world. It calls to us to listen and to change our lives. The mitzvah of tekiya shofar, the mitzvah of blowing the shofar, and the brachos of malchios, zechronos, and shofaros are a great gift from God. As David writes, Ashrayam yodei trua. Praiseworthy is the people who knows the shofar's cry. Hashem bar panecha ya'aleichun. O God, by the illumination of your countenance, they will walk. That is Psalm 89, verse 16. Rashi comments on this. They know the shofar's cry. They know how to appease their creator through the shofar, over which they recite the order of Malchios, Zechronos, and Shofaros. May we merit to properly utilize this gift and to bring God's bracha to Israel as a result. Summary, introduction to Shofaros. The Shofar is featured in four different places. Number one, in the giving of the Torah. Two, in the service of the temple, the Beis HaMikdash. Three, on Rosh Hashanah itself. And four, in the future redemption. Avraham Avinu is the ultimate example of good overcoming evil, as he was willing to slaughter his only son to fulfill the will of God. The shofar reminds us of this tremendous triumph of good over evil, that is, the will of God versus the person's own will, and the shofar's got the power to influence us to become closer to God. And finally, the ultimate purpose of the world will be when good triumphs over evil. The process was started with the shofar at Matan Torah, at the receipt of the Torah at Sinai. It continues in our times, both Beis HaMikdash and or Rosh Hashanah. And finally, we'll come to a climax with the great shofar of the redemption. Okay, my dear friends, the next one is the first verse of shofar. So you can find that in Exodus. I'm going to have to break out over here. I'd love to do this with you, but I got a dozen things I got to take care of before I go down mincha early. Got to call my dentist. They're having some problems. I got to feel a little bit better, hopefully. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to apologize. We did the introduction, which is also something. We're on page 223, God willing. And Mr. Shem, next week we'll do, hopefully, the first and second verses of Shofar. So we'll make up for it, God willing, then. We'll be able to knock down, hopefully, some serious works, serious pages, and we'll get some work done. Hope you'll forgive me. I have a little bit of a truncated class today. Got to take care of these things. Got to get on the horn and call the doctor and hopefully feel a little bit better. I want to wish everybody a great day, a healthy day. God willing, please join us tomorrow night for Tanakh Tuesday. We are in 2 Kings, and we're starting a new chapter, chapter 14. So if you haven't started yet, come join us, 2 Kings, chapter 14. We're kind of halfway through the book, maybe even a little bit more than halfway through the book. 25 chapters in Kings, we're on 14, well on our way towards, completing it. We do it slowly and carefully. We're not davening it up. That's our motto. We don't daven it. We study it. So wishing everybody a great day. All the best to one and all. Thank you all who called in and those who are going to hear it on the rebound when we publish it. Wishing everybody good health. And thanks for everybody who's calling who was a part of yesterday's blood drive. We had 22 units that we harvested, 7 of this, 6 of that, 9 of that. We did very, very well, thank God. We had a great turnout. There's always room for improvement. So I'm never 100% happy. I myself couldn't give because of my dental thing. I don't even know what's going on. I got to figure it out. So that disappointed me a little bit. But hey, listen, that's how it is. Abraham Sofer Tevel, the Almighty's in charge. Wishing everybody a great day. With God's help, if you feel well and you were not able to give yesterday, don't let that stop you from giving today, tomorrow, or the rest of the week. Figure out a time. Run on into Hawksworth. Give blood. Save a life. Shul Plotzker signing off for Gulf Manor Synagogue and a School of Jewish Studies. Hopefully we'll see everybody tomorrow night at 7:30 promptly for 2 Kings chapter 14. Don't miss it. And then Wednesday we continue Introduction to Talmud 101. Take care, everybody. Zay gesund. Feel well. I apologize. Please forgive me for truncating the class, but I got to take care of these things. Wishing everybody a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow night at Tanakh Tuesday at 7:30. Take care and be well. Bye-bye now.